Thank you, Gil. Okay, today we are looking at chapter 7 of 1 Samuel, and it has 17 verses. And the theme here is Samuel judges Israel. So our focus today will be centered on the Ark of the Covenant coming to Kiriath Jearim. Samuel judging Israel during this period, the gathering of the Lord's people at Mizpah, and finally, the battle with the Philistines. So let's start with the Ark coming to Kiriath Jearim. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1. And the men of Kiriath Jearim came and fetch up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. In the word of the Lord, a city represents the church of the firstborn or Jerusalem above or the church system of this world, and that is Babylon. And it depends on the context. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 and 23 says, "But you are come into Mount Zion and into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect." Revelation chapter 17, verse 18 to, and the woman, in this case, it refers to the church system of this world or Babylon, which thou saw is that great city which reigns over the kingdoms of the earth. The name Kirjathjearim means city of forest. As shown in Isaiah 29:17, the fruitful field is regarded as a forest. And therefore, the city of forest at the Kirjathjearim denotes the church of the Lord's elect. Isaiah 29:17, is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest. So a fruitful field is esteemed as forest. And so the city of forest is a fruitful field. The fruitful field represents the city of the Lord's elect. The name Abinadab means father of generosity. The ark being possessed by the men of Kiriath-Jearim and bringing it to the house of Abinadab signifies our transition from Babylon to the church of the Lord's elect, where Christ comes with the spirit of his mouth and his brightness to possess the hearts and mind of his elect, whose father is known for his generosity in favoring us. If we are to have the Lord in our hearts and mind, then our hearts and mind needs to be sanctified, as shown by the sanctification of Eleazar with the purpose of keeping the ark in verse 1. It is instructive to note that the name Eleazar means helper. We know that the helper is the Holy Spirit, whom the Lord is sending to his elect for their sanctification. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 14, being sanctified means washing our clothes, which means becoming righteous through the washing or cleansing by the word of the Lord. This washing by the word is the Lord's judgment, or the fire of the Lord's word, which causes us to learn righteousness. Exodus chapter 19, verse 14. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. Ephesians 5, 26 to 27 says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Isaiah 26, 9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 2. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kiriath Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Some versions of the Bible make verse 2 much clearer. Examples of these versions are as follows. 1 Samuel 7, 2. And the ark was in Kiriath Jearim for a long time, as much as 20 years. And all Israel was searching after the Lord with weeping. Another version of 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 2, that is the good word, says, a long time passed after the ark came to stay at Kiriath Jearim. For 20 years, the entire nation, or Israel, mournfully sought the Lord. It is when we come into the church of the firstborn, or the Lord's elect, that is Kiriath Jearim, that we mournfully seek after the Lord. We mourn because we are being judged in this age. We are just like the two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11, who are clothed in sackcloth. Revelation 13, 11 says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. The ark abiding in Kiriath Jearim for 20 years signifies the time during which the Lord enrolled us in his army as we war against our flesh. Numbers chapter 1, verse 3 says, from 20 years old and upwards, all that are able to go to war, to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their names. Again, in Numbers 1:26, it says, of the children of Judah, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the names of the number of the names, from 20 years old and upwards, all that were able to go forth to war. Yeah. So we come to Samuel, Judges, Israel, 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3. And Samuel spoke unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Asherah from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Baalim and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. Samuel, in this case, represents our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 3, Samuel admonishing the house of Israel is the Lord speaking to his people, his elect. If we are to progress in our spiritual relationship with Christ, then we must do away with the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among us. These strange gods and Asherah signify the idols of our hearts, or the false doctrines which we hold dear in our hearts. When we come to the church of the firstborn from the church system of this world or Babylon, signified by the Lord dragging us, just as the ark is brought to Kiriath Jearim, we come with a lot of idols of our hearts, which must be done away with. These idols of our hearts are the stumbling block of our iniquity. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 1 to 5. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, Thus says the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that sets up his idols in his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that comes according to the number of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. In verse 3, we are told that if the Israelites do away with their strange idols and Asherah, the Lord will deliver them out of the hand of the Philistines. This implies that our false doctrines empowers our flesh, and that by doing away with these idols of our hearts, we are set free from the clutches of our flesh, denoted by the Philistines. The children of Israel putting away Baal and Asheroth and serving the Lord only is the Lord's elect being given to know the truth of the Lord's word, which destroys the idols of our hearts. As we imbibe the truth of the Lord's word, these false doctrines are done away. The truth of the Lord's word is the hail that sweeps away the refuge of lies in our hearts and minds. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 17. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. The gathering of the lost people. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 5. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. As indicated, Samuel in this state represents the Lord. Mizpah means watchtower. This implies that the Lord is requiring us to become his watchmen. Isaiah chapter 21, verse 6 says, for thus has the Lord said unto me, go, set a watchman, let him declare what he sees. Isaiah 52, 8 says, thy watchman shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Isaiah 62, verse 6 says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, who shall never hold their peace day and night, nor night. You that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Ezekiel 3:17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of at my mouth, and give them warning for me. As shown in these verses, the role of a watchman is to hear the word of the Lord and to declare what the Lord is showing us. Samuel telling the people of Israel to gather as Mizpah so that he prays for them means the Lord interceding on our behalf to make us his watchmen. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. But this man Jesus, because he continues ever as an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives, make intercession for them. 1 Samuel 7, 6. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. As the Lord's watchmen, we are to draw water and pour it out before the Lord. To draw water means to be given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. To pour the water out before the Lord means to be judged by the Lord, shown as shown in the following verses. Psalm 22, verse 14 and 15 says, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. And thou hast brought me on into the dust of death. Job 30, 16 and 17 says, and now my soul is poured out unto me. The days of affliction have taken hold upon me. My bones are pierced in me in the night season, and my sinews, they take no rest. As we are aware, the spiritual significance of fasting is to lose the bonds of wickedness, or to break the yoke of the flesh, which comes about through the Lord's judgment of our flesh. The Israelites fasting as Mishpah therefore implies that we learn righteousness as we are judged by the Lord. All of this comes at the back of the fact that we know we have sinned against the Lord and therefore deserve his judgment. Isaiah 58, 6 to 8. It's not this the fast that I choose. I choose to lose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house when you see the nakedness, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2 says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the last of men, but to the will of God. Samuel judging the people of Israel at Mishpah symbolizes the Lord governing or ruling and executing judgment over his people who make us his watchmen. It is therefore we, his elect, whom the Lord is governing and executing his judgment for the purpose of destroying our flesh. It is important to note that here at Mishpah, all the Israelites were gathered together for the purpose of Samuel praying for them as they turned back to the Lord. This oneness is the unity that is required in our gathering as the Lord's elect for him to command his blessings. Psalm 133 from verse 1 to 3 says, the song of degrees of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that runs down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. The battle with the Philistines. 1 Samuel chapter 7 from 7 to 8. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together in Mishpah, the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. Our engagement against our flesh is typified by the loss of the Philistines coming up against Israel. It is when we are making progress in our relationship with Christ, as the Lord makes us his watchmen, that's the significance of Mishpah, that this struggle against our flesh becomes intense. The children of Israel being afraid of the Philistines means that we are all afraid of our flesh, because in our natural state, we have been defeated several times by our flesh, and we think we cannot war against our flesh. In our desperation, we come to the Lord asking him to save us from our own flesh. This is similar to the Israelites appealing to Samuel to pray to the Lord to save them out of the hand of the Philistines. Revelation chapter 13, verse 4. And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? It is important to note that as our high priest, the Lord is always interceding on our behalf in accordance with the oath swore to our father Abraham that we shall be delivered from our enemies, in other words, our flesh and the devil, so that we pass the rest of our time, of our lives, in rest and quietness. Luke chapter 1, from verse 70 to 75. And he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he will grant unto us, that we being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 9. And Samuel took a second lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Our Lord Jesus has been offered for a burnt offering to God for our sake, and is praying for us, his elect. And God the Father has heard him because of his reverence. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. And he says also in another place, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication without cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Now Samuel was offering up the burnt offering. The Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord tended with a great tender on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. Through the mercies of God, it is while we are offering ourselves as living sacrifice to the Lord that the pool of the flesh signifies that the Philistines drawing near to battle the Israelites becomes intense. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. In the Bible, the phrase "the Lord tended" implies the Lord's judgment, as shown in the following verse, Psalm 118, verse 13. The Lord also tended in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. The hailstones and the coals of fire in Psalm 18, verse 13 above are all part of the Lord's instruments of judgment. Therefore, the tendering with the great tender upon the Israel, upon the Philistines, indicates our victory over the flesh through the Lord's judgment of our flesh, that is the Philistines. Are you struggling with sin? Continue to pray to the Lord as the Israelites did, and he will come with his judgment to destroy the flesh so that we can have victory over it. As we can see in verse 11 of the study, the Israelites had victory over the Philistines. This implies that the Lord, who has started this work of destroying the enemy within us, will deliver victory to us. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ, of Jesus Christ. 1 Samuel 7, 11. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethkah. Bethkah means the house of the lamp, which is Christ. Therefore, Bethkah is the church of the Lord select of Jerusalem above, which is free. The men of Israel pursuing and smiting them until they came to Bezcar means that our struggle with our flesh is completed in the house, is completed in the house of the Lord. This is true what every joint supplies. Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every joint, every part, which makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 and 13. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mishpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto has the Lord helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more unto the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Samuel taking a stone and calling the name of the place between Mishpah and Shen, Ebenezer, is to let us know that the destruction of our flesh is done in stages, and that at every stage of our walk with the Lord, we must acknowledge that it is the Lord who has helped us this far. Who has helped us this far. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Here in 2 Corinthians 3:18, the Lord changing us into his image from glory to glory means that we are being changed from one stage into another, which is consistent with what Samuel said at Ebenezer as he laid a stone to symbolize how far the Lord has helped the people of Israel. The defeated Philistines, not able to come to the coast of Israel anymore, in verse 3, implies that as we journey with the Lord, we come to see certain areas of our lives in which the Lord has wrought complete victory for us over our flesh. In such cases, the flesh has been completely defeated and therefore cannot rise again. However, there are still certain areas of our lives which are yet to overcome. It is interesting to note that the Lord was against the Philistines as long as Samuel lived. This is to assure us that as long as the Lord is with us, he will fight our battles for us, and he will continue to destroy our flesh through his judgment. Isaiah 42, verse 13. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir his jealousy like a man of war. And he shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14. And the cities which the Philistines has taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. The restoration of the cities which the Philistines had taken is the Lord making us aware that our labor in the Lord shall not be in vain, and that whatever we have lost in him because we yielded to our flesh shall be restored to us. Indeed, the Lord is the restorer of the broken down walls of our lives. He will not relent until he has brought us to our desired haven. Psalm 107, verse 25 to 31. For he commanded and raises the stormy wind, which lift up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their souls is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He makes the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he brings them into their desired haven. Oh, that men will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. These verses in Psalm 107 above describe how the Lord comes to us with his judgment to destroy our flesh with the purpose of bringing us to our desired destination of becoming his children, abounding in his resources to complete the race marked out for us. Joel chapter 2, verse 23 to 27. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month, and the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore unto you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that thou hast dwelt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed, and you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. These are the words that the Lord is speaking to us today. Even as we live here, be confident that the Lord is the restorer, that the Lord will not make us ashamed. He will never leave us alone. It is important to note that at the end of verse 14, it is mentioned that there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. The Amorites also represents our flesh, just as the Philistines do. This statement that Israel was at peace with the Amorites is to make us aware that the destruction of our flesh is in phases. As we know from the word of the Lord, in the early part of Israel's journey to occupy the land of Canaan, the Amorites were confronted and destroyed. That is why the Israelites were at peace with the Amorites. The flesh will always be with us, but it is being rendered powerless by the Lord through his judgment. Joshua chapter 10, verse 6 to 10. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, and he and all the people at war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thy hands. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goes up to Bethron, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makkedah. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 15 to 17. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mishpah, and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. As indicated earlier, Samuel judging Israel all the days of his life is the Lord ruling, governing, and judging us throughout our lives as his elect. The moving of Samuel from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah and finally to Ramah every year shows us our spiritual progression in Christ. Bethel means the house of God. We must leave Babylon and enter the house of God, or the church of the firstborn, as the Lord's elect. Gilgal means circle or rolling. One of the significant events which happened to Israel in their walk with Christ is the mass circumcision of the men of Israel at Gilgal. This implies that through the Lord's judgment, we overcome the flesh as we roll away our reproach when we lived like the people of the world. Joshua chapter 5, verse 2 to 4, and then from verse 8 to 9 says, at that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the heel of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. And it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. It is as the Lord judges us that we become his watchmen at Mishpah, which means a watchtower. That is when we press for the heights of our calling, or the high calling of God, symbolized by Samuel coming to Ramah, which means heights. Philippians 3:14 says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. May we continue to grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, even as we press for the high calling of the Lord. Amen.